Now, the question then,
we're continuing at the Navigator Discipleship Seminar.
The question becomes, once they become a Christian, or if they are already a Christian, what do you do with them? Now, Matthew 28, 19 and 20 tells us to do something. Who can quote Matthew 28, 19 and 20 for me? Who can do that? Who can do that? How about this gentleman in the far back? Can you do that, sir? The gentleman with the gray hair back there?
Can you do that?
Do you know that verse, Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Yeah, Mike, you did it.
I'm very excited with the population. But I say in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Lo, or behold, I'm with you always.
Yeah,
very good.
Good, I'll give you a pen.
Thank you.
Yeah. So when we go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all I have commanded you, and Lord, I am with you always to the end of the earth, teaching them everything is a lot of information, isn't it? And I know some people who've been in discipleship relationships for years. In fact, I was meeting with, he's now a good friend of mine, and serves on the board of directors with GCI. Actually has been to Kenya and Eastern Europe with me teaching. But when I first met him, he was a young pilot with Continental Airlines. He had met someone with a sister disciple-making organization in Denver and gotten a Bible study with this guy and suddenly realized, how do I get out of this thing? Now, this is, you know, this seems like it's going to go on forever. Well, he got transferred to Houston. So when he looked me up, a mutual friend encouraged him to look me up. I could see he's a little nervous, and I said, Rob, we are not getting engaged. I can teach you, depending on how you're available, we can get this discipleship thing knocked out between 9 months, 18 months. If you're traveling a lot, 2 years max. But after that, I set you free. Heinrich Bartels was with a large engineering firm. He's a South African. They had immigrated to the U.S. And when I told him that, he signed up. And he didn't miss an appointment. And at 9 months, we had the graduation. And he told me, and he said, you know, I didn't believe you. Because when people get people in Bible study, it's like getting married to them. They never let them go. You have to get a divorce. And I just kind of get free. I said, no, honey, it's time for you to go lead a Sunday school class back in your church. My work here is done. So that's discipleship. We're laborers in the harvest, but the laborer needs to know when his work is done, doesn't he? Okay? So, this is a neat diagnostic tool. What's a diagnostic tool? Now, doctors have a diagnostic tool. What's a diagnostic tool that a physician uses? You know a diagnostic tool? Ah, this gentleman back here. What is a stethoscope? That's right. That's a diagnostic tool that a doctor uses. Yeah, how's your heart doing? Diagnostic. What's a diagnostic tool that an auto mechanic uses? What's a diagnostic? You know, is there air in your tires or something like that? What's a diagnostic tool he uses? When you're driving your car, there's some diagnostic tools. What are they? How about a tire gauge? Didn't I tell you how much tire? How about an oil gauge? Didn't I tell you? How about your gas gauge? Those are all diagnostic tools, aren't they? How about a carpenter? What's a diagnostic tool that a carpenter uses? Yes, ma'am? Tape measure. Then he knows how long the board is. You say, the board needs to be 1 meter. Somebody says, this is a 1 meter board. Are you just going to take his word for it? No, you're going to measure it. What's another diagnostic tool? Can anybody think of one? God says his word is a plumb line. Masonry people use it. It's a string, and it has a weight at the end, and you hold it, and then you see if a wall is straight. That's a diagnostic tool. Thermometer, see if you have fever. Isn't that a diagnostic tool? An x-ray diagnostic tool? Well, we have a diagnostic tool for discipleship. I received Christ when I was 16. I was hot, cold, up, down, hot, cold, up, down, fast, slow, for 2 years. Very frustrated. The only way somebody could tell me how to become a disciple was join a church and stay in it for 20 years. Just rattle around in there. Nobody could tell me what really happened. How do you witness? Well, get people to come to church. Listen to the evangelist. How do you study the Bible? Well, you know, I mean, there it is. Just study it. You know, I was very frustrated. And I went to a Navigator conference my freshman year of college. And a missionary from Taiwan named Ken Choate was on furlough, and he was leading the workshop on basic discipleship. So anybody who had never been to a Navigator conference before went to that workshop. So I was there as a group in a little conference room about this size, and he shared with something. He said, okay, this is a wheel illustration. He said, Christ is the center of the wheel. That's Galatians 2:20. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. You see, to do good works without giving a verbal testimony of Jesus Christ is dishonest, isn't it? To do good works, to live a good life before your family members, before your students, before your employees in your neighborhood, and not tell people about Jesus Christ is good, is dishonest. See, you've been crucified with Christ. It's not you who live, but Christ is living within you. And the life you're living, you live by faith in Jesus Christ who gave himself for you. The reason you want to do good works, the reason you can do good works, the reason people are able to see you doing good works is what reason? Jesus. And so if you do those good works and don't tell them about Jesus, they'll go home to their auntie and say, Auntie, I know you've been talking to me about Jesus, but there's this girl in my calculus class, and she's really nice, and she never cheats and lives a good life, and she's not religious, and I'm going to be like her. I'm just going to be a good girl. See, that's where good works will take you. If it, to know about, you should not take credit. I've given out some gifts here, haven't I? What if you had taken this bag of gifts, and when everybody came in, you gave them a gift, and you didn't tell them it was from me? Would that be honest? It would be good, wouldn't it? I mean, it would be a good work, wouldn't it? But it wouldn't be honest. And that's how doing good works without sharing Christ is. You are standing in your dormitory. You are in your neighborhood. You are at your family meeting. You are at your work. And you are giving out the gifts the Holy Spirit has given you and not giving Jesus credit. And that's just as dishonest as if you had taken this bag and given everyone a gift and not told them it was from Brother John and everybody that had a you on the back. So Jesus is the center, right? Jesus is the center. See, that's the difference between discipleship and praise meetings. See, Christ is the center. My problem with some praise meetings is you have people who believe all sorts of different things about Jesus. He's not the center. Praise is the center. There's nothing wrong with praise, but in discipleship, Christ is the center. You have people worshiping Mary. You have people who believe that the body and blood of Jesus Christ is recreated at the Lord's Supper. You have people believing they can lose their salvation. You can have people who don't believe Jesus actually rose from the dead. It was his spirit who rose from the dead. You have people believe all sorts of things about Jesus, but they're all filled with the Spirit. Is God the Holy Spirit indifferent to how we think about Jesus? Is he? He's not indifferent. It's very important to him how we think about Jesus. So Christ is the center of discipleship. That's why it's always easier to get people to learn how to perform miracles than to learn how to share Christ. That any demon can perform a miracle, remember that. Only born-again believers who are filled with the Spirit lead others to Christ. So, Christ is the center, and then you have this outer wheel. The key word there is obey. John 14:15 says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. John 14:21 says, he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. John 14:23 says, if any man loves me, then he will keep my word. John 14:24 says, he who does not love me does not keep my word. Do you get the feeling Jesus is repeating himself here? Huh? Trying to get something across to us? Does this say, if we obey God, he will love us? No. It's too late to get God to love you. Did you know that? Romans 5:8 says, God shows his love for us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. So people said, you know, I just want God to love me more. I said, it's too late. He already loves you more. Yeah, I want anyone to love you. I said, it's too late. He gave the ultimate gift. His son died for you. All your sins were placed on Christ. Christ's righteousness is in you. The Holy Spirit is in you. It's too late to do anything to get God to love you. Nothing you do will make God love you more. He's already loved you more. If I want him to love me anymore, too late. He already loved you more. His love is eternal. It's too late. Well, I'm afraid God won't love me. Too late. When you are as wicked as you could ever be, he loved you. That was before you became a Christian. It's too late to get God to love you more. It's too late to get God to love you less. So it's just too late. Sorry, too late. Would you like God to love you more? Too late. Are you afraid God will stop loving you? Too late. Too late. Sorry, you missed. You missed the boat. It's too late. He will never stop loving you. He already loves you more. But what we do does affect how we love God. That's different, isn't it? Big difference, isn't it? Big difference. So when it says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, it doesn't say, if you keep my commandments, I will love you. That's what Satan whispers in your ear. But it's too late, he already loves you. He loved you before you loved him. It was his idea. First. Right? So, how do we grow in our love for God? How do we connect the power of Christ, which is already in us, with our desire to express obedience to God out of love? Well, there are four spokes. The first is Word. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness. The Word of God. The second is prayer. John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will, it will be done for you. So prayer is not telling God what we want him to do. Prayer is abiding in his word, finding out what he wants us to do, and asking him for the power to do it. That's a big difference, isn't it? Because most people want the power. When you talk about a prayer workshop, they want to know, how do I get this thing to work? You know? I want God working for me, man. I want the job, I want the woman, I want the car, I want the house. How do I get this God to work? That lazy God, get up off your throne. In Jesus' name, I shake my fist at you. You get up off your throne and get busy. And I claim all the promises. What is that? What is this? What is that? What is it? Tell me what it is. 5 years old, looking at your father. My. You can't have ice cream. My. He said I can have it. My. What is that? What's it called? Tantrums. That's not prayer. This is prayer. 6 a.m. It's an hour before work. You're on your knees. Here's your teeth. Speak, Lord. Your servant listens. Tell me this day what you will have me do. and you read your three chapters, and you read three verses, and you pick up the weapon of choice of the Holy Spirit, and you go out to do battle, speaking sincerely, say, as from Christ, which is the next, witnessing. And we already looked at Acts 1:8, didn't we? Manifestation of the power of the Holy Spirit in the church age. You can get anybody in the church at the drop of a hat to go to a Holy Spirit demon workshop and learn how to perform miracles and call down fire from heaven. But who do you get to memorize 12 verses, show up on a Saturday morning or a Wednesday night and go knocking on doors? Only spirit-filled people will do that. Right? And fellowship. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to loving good works, not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day drawing near. So fellowship is a fellowship that stimulates us to loving good works. Now here's the beauty of this. Ken looked at me and he said, okay everybody, now we're going to draw your wheel. Not the perfect one, but the one, how it looks in your life. Well, I had Jesus Christ. Okay. I didn't even read my Bible every day. Oh, this was the words spoke. Prayer. Well, that was telling God what to do and telling him how bad I was. Not much of a relationship. You're married, and every morning you tell your wife, here's your do list of what I want you to do. And by the way, I was unfaithful to you again. Now, much of a relationship built on that? We go to prayer every morning. I'm sinful, now here's your do list. Okay? Not much of a relationship, is there? Okay, witnessing? Oh, I witness with my life. That's a joke, isn't it? I don't pray, I don't memorize the word. Fellowship! Now, there I am! There I am. Okay? You know? As long as the church ratio was 3 girls to 1 boy, they can get me in there 7 days a week. How does that tire turn? Wham! Wham! Hot hole! Wham! That's slow! Wham! Up, down. I had a problem, didn't I? So, we broke up into small groups. An upperclassman said to me, we can work on that. Let's start meeting once a week and cover these things. Would you like to be in Bible study, learn how to make this work? And I said, yes. Great diagnostic tool, isn't it? And when I meet with people, if they're Christians, the very next thing I do is show them the wheel, and I ask them to draw their wheel, and I always say, you know, I can help you with this. And that's what I told Rob Stevens. Rob, I can help you with this. We meet every week for breakfast, cup of coffee, for an hour. We can do it in 9 months. With your travel schedule, I would say about 18 months, max 2 years. He signed up. He was a good student. We were done in about 13 months. Now I released him. He went on to lead small groups in his church, but he wouldn't release me. So he kept calling back. How'd you do that? How'd we do this? And I said, God, I'll be glad to meet with you, Rob. You just tell me when we're done. That was 5 years ago. But he's calling me. I got a text message right before I went on, so he could be praying for us. He's praying for us right now in Houston, Texas. So he's my bud. But I don't own him. We didn't get married. We just ran a diagnostic and fixed it. Right? Isn't that what you want from your mechanic? Yeah. Can you fix my car? Yeah, if you give it to me. Well, no. That wasn't in the deal, was it? Now, show me the work order. I want it back. So that's what discipleship is. We just show them the work order.
Not really going to do this. Then if you want to go on, you want to soup this wheel up, you want to lead people to Christ and disciple them, lead Bible studies, go on mission trips, you know, we can soup it up. But this is discipleship. Well, Lord, we thank you for our time together. And we pray for a number of things. First, if there's anything that has come out of these two lectures, is that we pray for the supremacy of Christ. That whatever we read about you in the Bible, that it's right because of who you are. And if we feel it's wrong, that we end up on our knees. That we conform our lives to you. We don't let the world squeeze us into its mold. We pray, Lord, if there's another thing that we get out of this, when anything in the church or spiritual happens, that we begin asking, chapter, verse, where does the Bible say that? Where is that in the Bible? That we would learn that to discern the spirits, not by our value system, but by the standard of your holy word. We ask if there's another application that we could make, Lord, it would be that our value of what it means to be filled with the Spirit would be the same as yours. We know that there are many, many signs and wonders and manifestations. But the weapon of choice of the Holy Spirit is the Word of God. Give us a heart for that which you have on your heart, Lord, the Word of God. And if there's any last application, Lord, it would be that we would run a diagnostic on ourselves and we would determine not only to be a disciple, but to make disciples. In the name of our Lord and our resurrected Savior, Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You've been very...